Hi, everybody. This is Sharon Odom from Cosmetic Surgery Today, and welcome to Inside Cosmetic Surgery, our continuing series of interviews with top doctors from across the nation. Our topic today is post-bariatric body contouring, and to lead the discussion, we are honored to have Dr. Robert Shumue, a board-certified cosmetic surgeon from beautiful La Jolla, California. Hi, Dr. Shumue. Welcome.
Well, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you for joining us to discuss post-bariatric body contouring. And why don't we start with a definition? What is that exactly?
Post-bariatric contouring is one of the most important things that people can have done after they've had weight loss procedures, such as the gastric band or the Roux-en-Y gastric bypass procedure or other Nissen fundoplication procedures that help patients lose weight, but they have a lot of cosmetic issues thereafter. So post-bariatric body contouring is how we shape people cosmetically to help them look better after weight loss.
Right, because after weight loss, there's a lot of extra skin and from where their body was big before and then shrunk, right?
Extra skin, extra fascia, and also areas that don't look right from stretched or torn tissues that need to be repaired.
Right. Now, if there's loose skin on the face as well, does the patient go to another cosmetic surgeon to have that type of procedure performed?
So they do need to have different procedures for different parts of the body, which are oftentimes broken up into different days or different surgical days. Yet some physicians will specialize in the face and some will specialize maybe in liposuction. Other cosmetic surgeons have been trained to do both of those areas and can be addressed. For facelifts and for space lifts, we might use fatty tissues to actually go back in to fill an area that's been deflated, or we may need to use some suspension techniques in order to lift a face so it looks more aesthetic and pretty.
Right, so I guess it depends upon the doctor that they choose to do the surgery, because if the doctor only specializes in, say, the lower part of the body and they needed some upper body work done, like in the face, then they have to go somewhere else, right?
Right. Oftentimes general surgeons or gynecological surgeons who have had additional training and additional credentialing make very good body contouring physicians, where head and neck surgeons or facial plastic surgeons or oculoplastic surgeons, oral maxillofacial surgeons who have had additional training for facial cosmetic work might delve in there. Those who have been trained ubiquitously across the board and feel comfortable with all those different procedures might do things like facelifts, tummy tucks, liposuction, or breast lifts, et cetera, arm extremity lifts. So it depends on the practice and the volume of the physician's work.
Okay. Now, who is the ideal candidate for this type of surgery?
Somebody who is stable from weight loss. In other words, they're not still trying to lose weight and that they're in good shape nutritionally and they don't have a lot of other risk factors such as smoking or diabetes or having problems with super high cholesterol and having trouble with their high blood pressure, things like that. So those all need to be addressed and controlled first before we move forward with body contouring.
Right. Now, does it make a difference in your approach if the patient lost the weight quickly versus over a longer period of time?
The standard approach is losing a few pounds a month rather than going on crash diets. It's better to have somebody who's lost weight over a period of time when they have a body mass index that's well over 30. They really need to be stable at between 25 and 30 before body contouring procedures in the range of around 6 months of stable weight with weight loss that didn't come off all at once, and they don't expect any huge changes into the ensuing future.
Okay, so it's better if they lost the weight over a long period of time. So if someone comes to you and they lost weight quickly, you tell them to wait 6 months.
Yes, and we would see them back probably every month to see where they are.
Oh, okay.
Have a consultation with them and make sure that their weight really is what it says. That way we can check their weight and we can get laboratories to see how their protein levels are, et cetera.
Okay, all right. Now, with post-bariatric patients, do they need to be thought of differently in terms of the body contouring versus a person of normal weight?
Somebody that comes in, like, for example, today, who's very normal in weight, has had a baby and wants to be shaped, say, around the midline, might be an excellent candidate for lipoabdominoplasty. Where a person who's had extensive weight loss and may have a panniculus or an area that hangs over almost like it were a dewlap might need more like a belt lipectomy where the incision is longer, the recovery may be more difficult, and the condition of the patient may be somewhat suboptimal because they still have other issues such as excessive fatty tissues that are probably going to stay there the rest of their life, yet they probably really won't lose that weight. So I always look at bariatric patients from a more of a workup standpoint. They need to be thoroughly worked up before you would actually do surgery on anyone who's had bariatrics. They need to know what their iron count is to make sure that they're not anemic, that they don't have infections other places, that they don't have other complicating issues such as diabetes. And oftentimes they should have several other physicians with consults from internal medicine doctors or even cardiologists to clear them for cosmetic procedures.
Mm-hmm. So what are the unique challenges and possible complications of this type of body contouring for the post-bariatric patient?
Usually bariatric patients need help not only with the torso, but the extremities as well, and oftentimes in the neck and or the face. As you lose weight, you become more gaunt in your appearance in the face, and also the submental or the area beneath the chin takes on a different appearance. So this extra tissue has to be redraped and refilled so that it looks natural, but looks not surgerized on after the procedure's been done. For the torso, brachioplasties or arm tucks and tummy tucks, breast tucks or breast lifts and or reductions can be performed along with thigh procedures. In other words, when the thigh becomes laxed because the fat has left the area, may need more of a actual lifting procedure rather than a true liposuction. So once the torso has been addressed, then you have to consider the skin itself.
Okay. It was something struck me funny when you said when the fat has left the area. Just something about that just made me laugh, because that's something that a lot of people would really like if the fat would leave the area.
Yeah, that was the whole idea with the bariatric surgery to begin with, was to make fat leave the area.
Leave the area, right. And don't
leave
come
the
back.
Area. Fat is a great filler. As a matter of fact, we like to shift the fat into other places. So if we are able to find some fatty deposits, we can reanimate other portions of, say, the face or even the gluteal, the buttocks lift concepts need to be addressed. So fillers are good. Fat is wonderful. It just needs to be appropriately positioned, and deflation with the saggy skin and the saggy fascia needs to be repaired.
Right. Now, how many procedures can you perform in one surgery? Because if a person has multiple areas to be addressed, I'm sure that you can do more than one procedure, right?
Yes. A safe rule of thumb is 4 hours for a cosmetic procedure or procedures is plenty. So I am a Joint Commission certified facility, so I like to follow that particular rule, and I think the American Academy of Cosmetic Surgery would feel strongly with the guidelines of liposuction that we put together twice this past decade. So in other words, there's a certain amount of fat that can be removed when fat does need to be removed, which is generally around 5 liters in an ambulatory setting. And the amount or length of time is always a consideration. I personally like to use local procedures such as tumescent along with some conscious sedation, so I never use general anesthesia, which is a greater risk to the patient than likely the surgery itself.
Right, right. So that's interesting. So you don't do anything that requires general anesthesia?
That's correct. Even tummy tucks, breast lifts, and facelifts are all done under conscious sedation and local infiltrations techniques.
Wow. Okay, so how many surgeries might be needed for multiple procedures? So if someone needs something done and it goes beyond 4 hours, then they need to schedule another surgery?
Well, that's all determined beforehand. The surgeon would know how long it would take that person to have, a belt lipectomy or a body lift or a torso lift. So that could be done in one setting and allowed to heal. So
right.
They can come back later for their thigh tucks and their arm tucks, and perhaps in the future, maybe another time, they can address the face. So it should be just like you eat a sandwich. You wouldn't chew it all up in one bite. You take bites out of it until it's consumed, and then there's no problem with digesting it.
Okay. Is there a preferred sequence? Do you do one area and then next area? Like you have a map?
Yes, I listen to the patient's needs and wants first. They may have a real concern with their tummy area, so that would be a good place to start. Other folks have excessive skin tissue that's very prominent in the lower face and neck area, and that's what people see more, so they might try to have a facial procedure done first.
Right. Now, what about insurance? I know that it will sometimes cover bariatric surgery, but how about the post-bariatric body contouring that's needed afterwards?
Insurance for bariatric procedures and weight loss is very helpful, and I think that's very appropriate because it affects the patient's health. The mental health and the overall quality of life is improved with cosmetic surgery. It hasn't really found its way into the insurance industry yet.
Okay. All right. So what about the recovery time for this post-bariatric body contouring? How long, what is the downtime? How long does it take to recover, post-op care, that sort of thing?
I always give people a one-month window when they're doing body procedures. The face and neck area tend to heal the quickest because it has such a wonderful blood supply, where the torso is going to lag behind that. So 1 month period of time is usually a standard for doing tummy tucks, etc. Those who are doing extremity tucks might even require a little bit longer, maybe up to 6 weeks to 8 weeks for full healing.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Now, as far as choosing a cosmetic surgeon, what should a patient look for when they're thinking about doing this post-bariatric body contouring? What should they look for when trying to choose a surgeon?
I think it's easy to look at your hand. There's five fingers there, and so I put my hand up and I go through this with the patients. Number one, they need to go to an office that that physician has been certified by the American Board of Cosmetic Surgery, because it's the only board that is totally dedicated to the specialty of cosmetic surgery. So that's the first hurdle. Now, there are other doctors who may not be board certified, so if they don't have their boards in cosmetic surgery, they would need to have their boards in a specialty that would help serve that area, such as somebody who's going to do facelifts or rhinoplasties or, say, eyelid lifts. Then they would need to be a facial cosmetic surgeon or a facial plastic surgeon. They have to look at the background of the physician, their board certifications, and number three is how many of these procedures do they do in a year? You know, is this something that's done once a year, or
exactly.
Is this something that's done twice a year, or once a month, or this is a weekly procedure that a physician has done many times?
Mm-hmm.
The other is, has a physician been involved in teaching other doctors? And then the other aspect is they want to be able to see befores and afters from that particular physician's work so that they can comfortably understand visually of what is realistic and what's not realistic.
For sure. Okay. All right. Now, do patients ever come back to you to get follow-up surgery, or are the results fairly permanent?
Well, the results are totally permanent, every procedure that's done, because you're actually removing tissue, reconstructing it, putting it back into place. You can always do further procedures, one, because of patient aging, or two, just because they're looking for another type of look or further refinement. And then also sometimes patients will tend to gain or lose weight, and that might also affect their overall results.
Yes, that's what I wanted to ask. What if the patient gains some weight? Will that undo the results of the surgery?
It would depend on what percentage. So let's say a person weighed 200 pounds and their ideal weight was 120. Let's say they got down to 120 and they had a number of cosmetic body contouring procedures done after having, say, bariatric surgery. Their bariatric gastric band, say, was removed, mm-hmm. and now they're back up to 150.
Right.
So they're really 30 pounds above where they should be. That would represent about a 20% weight gain.
Right.
So different things would need to be done for different weight gain. Sometimes it's diet and exercise for 6 months, following up with the physician's office is the appropriate therapy to give rather than doing a procedure. So in other words, surgery really is the last resort that we use. It's done because there really is no other good option. But the option is played when the patient is tuned up and is at an appropriate body mass index or BMI so that they get the best results, have the less chance of complication, and also are more likely to come back to that physician because they trust them, they trust the doctor and the practice, and they know that they'll get good care for whatever kinds of things that they really need from a cosmetic standpoint.
Right. Now, what if someone gains some weight and then they lose that same amount of weight? So they gained 30, 35 pounds after they had the surgery, and then they slapped themselves and said, I went through too much trouble, let me get this weight off. Will they look exactly the same as they did when after the surgery was done?
They generally will, because as long as not too much time has gone by and they haven't stayed at that more of a moderate obesity for too long of a time,
mm-hmm.
there'll be some metabolic changes internally for sure, but once they get back to further exercise and dieting, in other words, controlling intake
right.
and caloric usage is really
mm-hmm.
the whole key there. The
mm-hmm.
appearance of somebody going back from weight gain to weight loss to weight gain to weight loss, that's actually not a very good thing to go through, not only physically, emotionally, and cosmetically, but it's also should be a little bit of a red flag to the cosmetic surgeon saying that this person has a tough time maintaining stability, in other words, homeostasis.
Right.
That's what's really key, is once you get a person fixed up to where they're looking nice, you really want to encourage them to stay in that category of life.
Okay. So do you have any patient stories you'd like to share? No names, of course, but just the story itself.
Yeah. I have a number of patients who have been well into their almost 300-pound range, in which I says, well, we need to first do debulking of these areas. So once we debulk them with liposuction, oftentimes they're so happy with the results, they're done, they're finished, they're happy, they don't need any more surgeries.
Sure.
I had a patient from England several years back. She is a TV personality there. And we did quite a bit of torso and body liposculpting, and she looked marvelous. She had one of the Super 8 figures that looked just stupendous.
Yeah.
And she called me about 2 years later and says, I'd like to come back over for some more liposuction. And I had done two sessions with her previously. And I says, that sounds fine. Why are you coming back over? Didn't we get enough fat out the first couple of times? He says, oh, no, that's not the problem, is that I've gained 50 pounds.
Uh-oh.
and so in that situation, you know, she was from across the ocean, so we had to work with weight control there, and then later on is
right.
help her with some contouring and a little tucking procedures.
Right.
So
right.
People have to look at the skin as an envelope that expands and contracts, and sometimes it needs to be tucked if
yes.
the expansion has been beyond its resiliency to contract back again.
Right, right. Well, great. Well, I know that this is a busy time for you, so why don't we tell people how they can find out more about you? What's your website?
Okay. It's www.shumoycosmeticsurgery.com, and I am a current trustee of the American Board of Cosmetic Surgery, or the ABCS,
mm-hmm.
and I am a trustee of the American Academy of Cosmetic Surgery, the AACS,
mm-hmm.
and past president of the California Academy of Cosmetic Surgery, the CACS, and past president of the American Society of Cosmetic Breast Surgery, or the ABCBS. The important thing is to continue your training
mm-hmm.
and to encourage physicians to become good at what they do, specialize specifically in cosmetic surgery procedures, and always be truthful in their advertising and in the things that they can and cannot do. In order to find us, we're on the Scripps Memorial Hospital campus, and that's the main hospital there in northern San Diego, or in other words, La Jolla.
Great. Well, thank you very much, Dr. Robert Shumway from La Jolla, California. It's been a real pleasure, and we will speak to you soon. Thank you so much.
Well, thanks so much, Sharon. It's been a pleasure.